Genesis chapter 13, I want to begin in verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him in the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Always think about that. Some people think you go to hell because you're rich, and you go to heaven because you're poor, because they look at the rich man and Lazarus. But that's just not true. Abraham was very rich, but he went to heaven. You go to heaven because you believe God. And you go to hell because you don't believe God, because you reject God. And the Bible said, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, and the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and under the place of the altar. Now that's important. I'm going to key on that in a minute. Which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. So they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen, my herdmen, and thy herdmen. For, boy, I tell you, I like that verse, that right there. You ought to underline that in their Bible. We be brethren. I like that. Amen. We be brethren. We don't need to have strife between us. We be brethren. Amen. And God wants us to emphasize that. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take thy hand, take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And you know what that verse reminded me of today when I read it? If I ever take anybody in this church hunting, and you say, well, preacher, what about this spot? And what about that spot? And what about this spot? You know what I do? Always, always. You can ask my son. You go over where you want to, and I'll go the other way. Amen. I'll tell you about this spot, tell you about that spot, tell you about that spot. Pick one. Amen. I'm not going to go sit down alongside of you. I can tell you that. But I'll let you pick. And that's what Abram's doing right here. He's letting Lot pick. And then the Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Behold, all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt that comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. How many remembers how this chapter started? Look how it's going to end. Which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach for a little while on the ore of selfish choices. I know that title may not make a bit of sense right now, but it will in a minute. It will. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, if you don't help us, we can't be a help. God, if you'll help us tonight, I believe, Lord, we can be a help to our precious people and our families tonight. God, I pray for those tonight that are sick, for those that are hurting, those that are discouraged. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd encourage them. Lord, comfort the hearts of those that are bereaved tonight. There are many. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me run down through here tonight and I'll give you just, I've got seven or eight things that'll scare you to death. But I just want to give you some things tonight from the Word of God that I believe will be a blessing. Number one, we can choose for self and neglect the altar. That's what Lot did. Lot chose for himself and he neglected the altar. Or we can choose for the Lord and realize we need the altar. I never have thought about this before until this afternoon when I studied this again. I cannot find, if you can find it, show it to me. I cannot find where Lot ever built an altar. But everywhere Abram went, he was building an altar. I'm telling you tonight, you know what? God spoke to my heart and he said, preacher, stay in that altar. Stay in that altar. If you'll stay on your knees and stay humble before me, you won't be chosen for your stinking self. You'll be chosen for the Savior. And you'll be chosen for others. How many knows that's right? If you have any communion whatsoever with God in prayer, you don't come out of there wanting to do something for yourself, wanting to lift yourself up. You come out of there wanting to be a blessing to somebody else and lift up the Lord. And you come out of there, if He meets with you, more humble than you were when you went in there. Amen? That's just the way the altar works. And so we can choose for self and neglect the altar. I believe Lot neglected the altar. I don't believe Lot had a prayer life. Amen? And you say, well, preacher, was he saved? How many knows the answer to that? Yes! Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. In Kingsport, Tennessee, we won't go any further. There's a lot of people that are saved by the grace of God that do not have a prayer life. That do not have a prayer life. So no wonder they choose over and over and over for themselves, rather than choosing for the Savior. So the or of selfish choices. We can choose for self and neglect the altar, or we can choose for the Lord and need the altar. Secondly tonight, we can choose for self based on sight, or we can choose for the Savior based on faith. The Word of God said right here that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked, and what he saw he liked. Amen. And his entire choice was based on what he could see. How many knows that Abraham was a faithful man and that he lived by faith? Hell, he made some mistakes. Amen. Everybody that's ever walked in shoe leather has. Amen. But I'll tell you this tonight. Abraham was a man of faith, and God honors faith. God does not want you and I to live our life making our choices on what we can see. He wants us to make our choices on who we cannot see. By faith, God wants us to operate. Now, I thought that was good. Look there in verse number 10. Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. By the way, you know what I would name this well watered plain? I would name it Easy Street. Lot looked up there. Now, I mean, he saw Easy Street. Plenty of green grass. Plenty of water. Boy, I tell you what, don't have to go. Man, just herd them cattle in there. We'll have her made. Amen. Can I tell you something about the Christian life? It's not always Easy Street. Sometimes God wants us to choose by faith. And by the way, I like what an old preacher said. I don't know where you go in the Bible to back it up, but I like what he said. He said, if the flesh really likes it, God probably ain't in it. I like that. Amen. How many experienced that? I mean, if it's something the flesh really loves and wants to do, God probably ain't within a million miles of it. Amen. But I tell you what, if we're choosing by faith, sometimes, how many knows the road that Paul took was not the easy road? How many knows the road that Jesus took was not the easy road? How many knows the road that Abraham took was not the easy road? Amen. I'm telling you, the road that God's people take sometimes is not an easy road. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But sometimes, my friend, there's difficulties along the way. All right, thirdly tonight, we can choose for self based on the temporal, or we can choose for the Savior based on the eternal. How many understands what I just said? We can choose for ourselves, and that's what Lot's doing. His choice is not concerning the sweet by and by. His choice is all about the sweet now and now.
Amen. And when our choices are all about the sweet now and now, they turn sour. Some people only live for today. Is that right or is that wrong? I mean, they can't see that far in front of their nose. They only live for right now. But Abram was making a choice. When he let Lot make the choice, Abram was saying, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave my choice with the one that's in charge not only of time, but of eternity. Amen? I believe it's important tonight to understand that when Lot made this choice, it was based on sight. It was based on the temporal. But God wants you and I to see beyond the temporary and see the eternal. Look at verse 14 down through verse number 18. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. You see, it's important the Lord said something to Abram after Lot was separated from him. You know what God is telling me right here, and I'm not stretching this one bit. God is telling me, He's telling you tonight, I'm very pleased with what Abraham did when that choice was to be made. When he just backed up and he laid that choice in the lap of Lot, God is saying, I'm pleased. Now let me show you how pleased I am, Abram. And the word of God said after they separated here, in verse number 14, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. He had an altar where he was. He made a move. He's doing what God said. God said, walk. God said, walk. God said, walk. God said, walk. He said, I'm going to give it all to you. But the first time he set his tent up, he said, I need to build another altar. I need to build another altar. I don't know about you tonight, but it's easy for me to see who gets the better end of the stick in this deal right here. God's people tonight, God would say to you and to me tonight, He would say, the best choices are when we leave the choosing up to Him. Amen? When we leave the choosing up to Him. Now, we see that if you choose for self, this is number four, then you want to choose what's best for the flesh. But if you choose for the Savior, you want to choose what's best for the Spirit. He said, preacher, I don't understand what things like this got to do with this day and time. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every time we turn the radio on, we make a choice. Every time we turn the television on, we make a choice. Every time we look at a billboard, we make a choice. Every time we engage in conversation, we make a choice. Am I right or am I wrong? And I'm telling you tonight, I believe God is saying that we ought to be choosing that, my friend, that magnifies the Savior and that will build up our spirit instead of that will tear down the spirit of man and the spirit of God in that man and grieve the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't believe God, my friend, is pleased with a whole lot that's going on in this nation that we live in. And a lot of it is based on the temporal. It's just one crisis to the next. One crisis to the next. Nobody has a vision. And when there's no vision, the people perish. That's what the Word of God said. Choose what's right for self and you'll do what's best for the flesh. Or you can choose for the Savior and do what's best for the Spirit. Let me give you some things right here. Number five, are you ready? We're doing good, aren't we? You're not near as worried as you a while ago when I said I had eight things, are you? Amen? Number five. Look at verse number 12 here in chapter 13. The Bible said, I'm doing like Brother Brian now. I'm just going backwards and forwards. Amen? He said that helps keep you on your toes. So I believe him. Amen? Here we go. We can choose. Look at verse 12. I'm going to read it. Abram. I keep calling him Abraham, but that's his real name now. Say amen. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, tonight, I think I'm at number five. Here's what we can do. We can choose for self, leaning towards sin and towards Sodom. That's what the selfish choice is. It leans towards sin and it leans towards Sodom. Or we can choose for the Savior, and that road leads to a city. Not Sodom, but that city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I years ago, I was deer hunting with a fella, and I could have killed him. We were deer hunting. He lived in a big valley up there behind Saltville. The sun didn't come up till about 1:30 where he lived. That's the truth. He was on that shady side of the mountain, and it wasn't about 1:30 before the sun ever hit, and his yard started melting the frost. But we went in the back way up where you go up through what they call Tumbling Cove, and we went up there hunting, and he shot a deer, and it kind of got off on the wrong side of the mountain. And so he said, we can take this thing out the top here and drop right off in front of the house. I said, we can? He said, yeah, we can. He said, me and Dad, we've coon hunted in here, and we know this place like a back of our hand. Beware! Amen. But we would go. There's a reason I'm telling this. Amen. Bear with me a minute. We would go, and we'd get up on this knob, and he'd say, Rick, it's just over that next hill. We take that old deer. Here we go. We get up on that knob. He said, no, this ain't the hill. It's just over that next hill. I'm telling you, we drug and we drug and we drug and we drug. That thing didn't have no hair on one side of it the time we got it to the house. What I'm trying to tell you is that Abram lived a life like that. Only he wasn't looking for the house with a deer. He was looking for a city. I believe he'd say to his family, honey, it might be right over that next hill. It might be right over that next hill. But it's close. I just know in my heart and in my spirit, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Well, are you with me tonight? I'm telling you tonight, look at number 6. We can choose for self and be concerned about cattle, or we can choose for the Savior and be concerned about children. You see, Lot's choice was very good for cattle, but it was very bad for children. I'm going to say something right here. I mean, listen to me right here. Every one of us have been guilty at some time or another of making choices, my friend, that were based on what we could gain materially out of that choice and never considered what it would do to our children. Lot's choice. He wasn't thinking about his children when he looked toward Sodom and leaned toward Sodom, pitched his tent toward Sodom. All he was thinking about was a well-watered plain. Easy street for the cattle. Easy street. Boy, my herd's going to do good. They're going to fatten up. They're going to reproduce. I tell you what, my boy fools with cattle. I say fools with them. I mean, I don't know how you say it. He's got a job at the Eastman, but on the side, he got a farm, got another farm lease, and he does good with them. He really does. I'm proud of him. I'll tell you what, a little while back, he was glad to see the rain. There was two things that needed to rain bad, the pasture and the hay field. And if you're messing with cattle, in other words, you're glad to see the rain because you need it in order to be successful. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Lot made a choice that was all about the cattle, and he forgot about the children. I'm telling you the truth. I have pastored families that moved and never even considered whether there was a church to take their children to that believed the Word of God and preached the Word of God. I'm not fussing tonight. I'm just telling you there's an or in these choices. Amen. We can choose for self or we can choose for the Savior. And the consequences are different, very much different. Let me give you some things here tonight. Think about this. In Genesis 22, Isaac, he had been trained. How do you know in Genesis 22, Isaac had been trained by Abraham? Well, Brother Gary, I think he said something like this: Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Now, why was he asking a question like that? Because he knew that a sacrifice was needed. He had been down that road before, evidently, amen? And he knew that God required a sacrifice. His father had been faithful in training him. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, if you read Genesis 19 and 14, you know what happened when Lot got in the bind? He seemed as one that mocked. Why? Because he had lived his life for himself. I'll tell you something right now. Isaac might not have been able to figure out what was going on going up that hill. And when his daddy bound him and laid him on that altar, God only knows what went through that boy's mind. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I'll guarantee you that he didn't look up at Abram and say, you're just like one that mocks. He knew his daddy walked with God. He knew his daddy was a faithful man. And he knew whatever daddy was doing, God was telling him to do it. He might not have understood it, but he believed it. What a difference it made. You think about Genesis chapter 19 and verse 31 through 38. Lot's daughters commit incest with Lot while he's in a drunken stupor, trying to carry on the seed line. How much different was it with Abraham and when he sends his servant in Genesis chapter 24 out to look for a bride for Isaac? And he said, don't you go to the heathen. You get one out of our own kindred. Amen. I'm telling you, it was altogether different. The selfish choice versus the Savior's choice was altogether different. The ore of selfish choices. You can look in chapter number 14. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I really was not real familiar with what went on in chapter 14 until today. I have to be reminded. But in chapter number 14, Lot gets in trouble. And he's actually captured. Well, you know what happens? Abram comes to his rescue. Now, what I got out of this, let me just show you something here right quick. You can choose for self in chapter number 14. Lot has chosen for self in chapter 13. You can choose for self, and in chapter 14, you find out he is defenseless. Or you can choose for the Savior, and look at it with me here. Let me look at a verse of Scripture here. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, Abram has delivered Lot. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Let me give you a couple things tonight. I got time. You can choose for yourself and be defenseless, or you can choose for the Lord and He will defend you. God said, I am your shield. Turn over in your Bible still to Isaiah for just a minute, please, tonight. Isaiah chapter number 54, I believe it is. Isaiah chapter 54. And verse number 17. The Bible said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I don't know about you tonight, but I have an enemy. And I'm not really concerned about walking around one day defenseless. Because that's all it would take, and he's got me. That's all it would take, and he's got my family. That's all it would take is one day, and he's got me. Look at the Word of God with me, please, over here in the book of Samuel for just a minute. How many remembers that Paul said it like this? If God be for us, who can be against us? How many remembers when Paul said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us? Amen. Now, thanks be to God, which always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, when He's our shield, when He's our defense, that old song, they sang it with the puppets last year. I should have said the puppets sang it last year. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. It's time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon and the Spirit is my shield. And the church needs more of its workers to be members, to be workers in the field. Step into the water. I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad we have a defense. Amen. I'm glad, listen, I'm not glad. I'm sad. But one of the first things that happened under this presidency, as we tore down that missile defense system over there, I'll just go ahead and wrap it up in one word. Stupid! You can't fix stupid. That was dumb. We need a defense system. We as God's people need a defense system tonight. We need to know tonight that if we choose for self, we'll be defenseless. But if we'll choose for the Lord, He will defend us. Look at David in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. Well, praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll show you something here tonight. Look at verse 37. The Bible said, David said, moreover, the Lord... Let me back up a little bit. Because if you don't read verse 37, it almost sounds like there's a cocky young man in these preceding verses. Look at verse number 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after them, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, if that's all you read, what you get is, that's a tough little booger right there, buddy. Amen. But that's not all there is to read. Look at verse 36. Thy servant slew both the bear, the lion, and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me. David finally gets to it. Amen. He's saying, hey, there's somebody working on my behalf. He delivered me. He delivered me. And when I stand in front of this Philistine, the same God that delivered me back yonder will deliver me again. Hallelujah. I like that. I was the oldest of six children. So I didn't have a big brother. But I had a big daddy. Daddy weighed 240 pounds working in that steel. Brother Anthony, there wasn't an ounce of fat on him. I mean, tell you what's the truth. He had ripples in his belly. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. He was stout. And when I was a kid, I didn't think there was anybody like my daddy. Well, I got in a fight one day. Actually, Daddy said, son, get over here. Words were being exchanged. We lived in a subdivision. And if you do, I'm sorry for you. But anyway, we lived in a subdivision. And Daddy said, get over here, son. And all that boy began to cuss. And he began to say things about my daddy and about my mama. Daddy said, get him, son. Boy, I like them words. Amen. And I got him. I whooped him. I didn't whoop everybody I fought. Amen. I didn't like to fight. But I whooped him that day. He had it coming. Well, here come his mama. I'm going somewhere right here. His mama said, when my husband gets in from work, I'll have you know he will be down here to see you. Daddy said, ma'am, I said, that'd be just fine. But something you need to know before you send him down here. He said, I'll give him a double dose of what that boy of mine give your son if he shows up here. Send him on if you want to. Guess what? He never did show up. Amen. You know something tonight? We've got a heavenly Father that'll take up the slack for us. We got a Heavenly Father that'll stand in for us. We got a Heavenly Father that'll defend us. I believe tonight it's important. Come over here in the chapter with me. The Bible said in verse 45, David, then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." Well, I want you to notice something here. David didn't say, "I'm coming to you with a sling and five smooth stones." That ain't what he said. You say, "Well, preacher, that's what he's bringing." Oh, don't you understand that his confidence wasn't in his bag? His confidence wasn't in his sling. His confidence was in the God of heaven that helped him to slay a lion and a bear with his bare hands. I believe tonight, you come on down here, you'll see he's not defenseless. He said, "This day I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee. I'll take thy head from thee. I'll give thy carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." When we choose for self, all the world don't know. But when we choose for the Savior, God can use those choices to help others to know that there's a God in Israel. "All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." I don't know about you tonight, but it's getting pretty apparent to me. We can choose for self and be defenseless, or we can choose for the Lord, and He will defend us. Let me give you a couple more things real quickly. Amen. All we're going to do after this is have a business meeting. So it'll be all right to go a few more minutes, wouldn't it? Amen. Number 8. This is the last one in the list. And then I'm just going to give you a few things in closing. My wife said the messages never were too bad, but the introduction and the closing's killing us. Amen. We can choose for self, number 8, and lose our family. Or we can choose for the Savior and lead our family. Let me give you something tonight. The Bible said, remember Lot's wife. Everybody in this church that's been here any length of time, you know that I've told a little bit about my oldest daughter and some of the trouble and some of the rebellion. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe I have her respect today and her love today because I did not compromise. I did not cave in. Right is right, always will be. Wrong is wrong, and it always will be. Now, you can love people while they're doing wrong, but you don't have to love the wrong that they're doing. And you certainly don't have to sanction it and support it. Amen? And the Word of God is teaching us here. We can choose for self, remember Lot's wife, and lose your family. Look at Genesis 18, verse number 19, just a minute. This is important. We're coming upon Father's Day. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Well, how'd I end up in Numbers? Anyway, Genesis chapter number 18, verse 19. This is what God said about Abram. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken." How many believes that's a good way to go right there? Amen. God said, "I know him. I know him." He's going to do the right thing. He's going to lead his family in the right way. Let me make several statements in closing real quickly. In closing, you can choose for self and be out of God's will. Or you can choose for the Savior and be in God's will. You can choose for self and do what's best for me. Or you can choose for the Savior and do what's best for others. You can choose for self and become weaker and weaker in your Christian walk. Or you can choose for the Savior and become stronger and stronger. How many believes if we've been saved any length of time, we ought to be stronger now than we were when we got saved? We're supposed to be increasing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We can choose for self and be consumed by worldliness. or we can choose for the Savior and be constrained by godliness. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We can choose for self and be a hindrance to others, or we can choose for the Savior and be a help to others. That's a big or in this message, is it not? The self-life or the surrendered life. You say, well, preacher, I just don't believe a Christian can live for their self. Let me say this to you. Reason with me just a minute. How come there's so many warnings in the Bible that are directed to God's people? Flee fornication. Flee also youthful lust. How come there's so many warnings concerning evil speaking and clamor? Warning after warning after warning. Because God, even though we're saved, still gives us a choice. You say, preacher, do you believe Lot was saved? Well, I'll make a stronger statement than that. No, I know he was. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. Just a couple more things and I'm done. I want to ask you tonight, how would you like for your obituary to read? Would you like to have an obituary like Lot? Or would you like to have an obituary like Abraham? You say, what's the difference, preacher? Well, I'll show you and I'm done. 2 Peter, chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. 2 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. Here's what it said. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example or an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Boy, we got a lot of them today, don't we? And delivered just Lot. Here's his obituary. You know what it's saying? Same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is saying, saved so as by fire. That's what it's saying. Saved. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now let me say something to you tonight. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. We can do that and still be friends and still love one another. But I, myself, would have a real difficult time believing Lot was a saved man if it wasn't for what I just read. But God cannot lie. God said he was a righteous man. And by the way, there's some typology going on there. Amen. He got that righteous man out before the judgment came. He's not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read Abraham's obituary. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews, and we'll be real close to the very last passage. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said here, by faith in verse number 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, what's the next word? Obeyed. Boy, wouldn't I like to have that in my, not what my wife writes about me or what my children, but if God was writing my obituary, wouldn't it be good if God could say, he obeyed me? That he lived by faith. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him according to the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith in chapter number 11 and verse 13. They that say such things declare plainly that they're pilgrims and strangers on the earth and that they seek a country. Truly, if they had been mindful in verse 15 of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. That's a man or a woman that's living by faith. They're desiring a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Boy, I tell you what, you could ask Lot, would you choose a different way if you had it to do over? How many believes he'd say amen right there? Sure would. You could ask Abram, are you pleased that you went with God? He'd say, boy, oh boy, am I pleased that I went with God. Am I pleased that I died in faith? The Bible said by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Because that he had received the promise offered up of his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch this, look at verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in like figure. I tell you, Abraham had every intention of dropping that knife in that boy's chest. You talk about a faith. What those two verses right there are saying is that God, you promised that right there is the seed. And now, Lord, I'll do what you said to do, but then I don't know what you're going to do. But you said right there is the seed. You know what faith is? It's taking God at His word. He judged him faithful that he was able, if he's laying there dead, to raise him from the dead. What a blessing. One more verse and I'm done. Or one more little passage. It might be a couple verses. It is. James chapter 2. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I remember something Brother Danny Sykes said about two or three years ago, boy, it left an impression in my heart. He said, when we believe right, we will behave right. Amen. And that's what Abraham's doing. He's believing right, so he's behaving right. Now watch this. Verse number 23. The scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he, here's his obituary, was called the friend of God. Brother Ralph, what would it be like to have the God of glory say that about you? That's who said it. He put it right there in the Word of God. He was called the friend of God. While Lot's dying, and all that can be said is he vexed his righteous soul with the filthy, the wickedness that was going on down there in Sodom. Seemed like a man that mocked when he said, we need to get out of here. And the angels actually drug him out of there, if you'll read it. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, not because God give it to me, but that's a message that's needed. There's an ore in the selfish choices. We can live for self, and it's one way. Or we can live for the Savior, and it's another way. I don't know where in the Word of God, you may have a better place, but I don't know where God could have painted the picture any better than in the life of Lot and Abraham. I don't know about you tonight, but if God will help me, I want to try my best to be like Abraham. I want to be a little more careful about what I let these eyes see and what I let these ears hear. Because it grieves the Holy Ghost sometimes. Amen. They're trying to make so many things acceptable today. How many knows that? Amen. Coming right on in. Right on in. I'll tell you tonight, God wants to use us. How many's glad you come tonight? I thank you for bearing with me. I don't know what time it is. It's almost 8:15. We need to have a business meeting tonight. I'll tell you what. I had a business meeting with God this afternoon. God means business. How many believes that tonight? God means business. And He wants us to mean business with Him. Amen. I love this church. But selfishness will destroy this church or any other church. Now, I don't know of anybody that's selfish. But I tell you what I believe. I believe God wants us to live for the Savior. Father, thank You tonight for our people. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, You would help each one of us to choose, knowing what we know now, in this stark contrast, to choose. To choose for the Savior and not for ourselves. To choose like Abram. God, drive that point home in our lives tonight, in my life tonight, that the life that is lived from the altar will be a life that's pleasing to God. Lord, I never seen that before, that Lot, he just didn't have an altar. God, I pray tonight, help us to make sure we have an altar. And God will give You glory in Jesus' name.